As Ryoko knelt, she felt the minutes pass, wondering how much longer Asaka expected her to kneel here. Curious as to exactly how much time had passed, knowing the 5-minute limit, she queried her internal chronometer, discovering she could not find her chronometer. With a start, she raised her head, looking for Asaka, only to find she was no longer there. Nor was the ribbon. Nor even the ribbon chamber. Just an empty expanse. Panicking, she suddenly sees an expansive church before her, and a childish red phantasm approaching the pulpit. With a rush of vertigo, she opened her eyes, which she had yet to close, to find a ribbon in her hand. She understood. It was happening. This is a vision. She found herself in an alleyway, and somehow Ryoko intrinsically recognized this as the past. A crumpled hat that could be mistaken for a bucket lay crumpled, and a childlike magical girl grieved over a bloodied magical girl holding a shattered soul gem. A hammer-like cat's paw scepter lay discarded. She knew who these two were, but this could not be the history of her death that she knew. Spontaneously standing over them, she heard Yuma stammer an apology to the fallen girl before rising to face the demon approaching. "I'm a monster," she spoke softly. "They were right all along. I'm just as much of a monster as all of them. If that's true, what right do I have to live?" Her hammer reappeared in her hand, and her soul gem swirled black. She smiled with an air of insanity as she charged straight through Ryoko as if she wasn't there at all. She acknowledged she was, in fact, not. She was only observing. But she felt as if she was being observed as well. And she noticed the body almost twitch. She recoiled and found no ground beneath her, and she opened her eyes again to find two men, toweringly large, dressed in hospital garb, looking down at her. She reached out and her hand touched glass before her. She felt the liquid around her drain. Her hand looked strange, but before she could examine it, she was blinded by a flash of light. As the light cleared, she heard a voice she recognized curiously as her homeroom teacher introducing a foreign transfer student. She realized that she herself was the one being introduced, and felt a complement of butterflies let free in her stomach. She remembered this, but this was not her feelings toward it. She suddenly felt herself speak, not in control of her emotions. "I am Simona Del Mago," Ryoko seemingly spoke from lips she realized were not her own. Her eyes moved to meet those of a certain long-haired girl in the third row. She met her own eyes. Certainly a surreal experience. It was true what Ryoko's friends said about her. She did look like a kid. As Ryoko began to ponder her first meeting with Simona, the scene faded to white. The white, however, did not clear this time. Ryoko looked around and found a park bench in this sea of white. Sitting on it were two girls, a younger Asaka and a foreign girl she intuited would be the type that might be named Alice. Alice abruptly pointed outward, and Asaka fell forward from her seat into kneeling. A white apparition of a woman was in view. Awash with radiant light, she couldn't see her clearly, but she wore a flowing white dress, and her hair was long and tinged with pink? This was something she had seen before. This sight was what inspired the many depictions strewn across the church, and just as those, her face was hidden from sight by the light surrounding her. The spirit spoke to an almost overwhelmed Asaka, before pointing to an image in the distance. It was of a girl Ryoko knew too well, the fact that she knew too little of. A girl in purple magical girl costume pointed a composite bow to the sky and fired. This was Ryoko's own memory Asaka was being shown. The image disappeared, followed closely by the girls, but the woman lingered. She turned to face Ryoko. Her brilliance faded, and her face came into view. She wore 5 pink gemstones encircling her collar. Her eyes were a powerful golden experience. Her face, achingly familiar, somehow. A voice echoed softly. It told Ryoko that she had told Asaka to wait for a sign. She had done well, and now Ryoko was here. She told her to tell no one she saw her here. She put a finger to her mouth and winked. Ryoko felt herself fall again, before finding herself among trees near the edge of a cliff. She was hearing Kyoko scream angry orders telepathically, acknowledging the danger around them, She heard explosions and saw countless drones and a storm of projectiles and beams flying above her, some connecting with an invisible barrier. She saw the girl below her struggle with a handful of grief cubes. Kyoko was not bothering to hide a transmission. She demanded an evac imminently. She said someone had informed them they would be there. A group of submarines surfaces off the cliff in the water below, firing at enemies above and unseen below. The group of girls present dove from the cliff to the beach before the water. As they ran, Ryoko stood confused until she felt a strange compulsion to look. She did so, and saw Kyoko continue to scream, mentally, telepathically, electronically, and physically, orders to move, until a smoking crater formed where she was standing. Ryoko fought the urge to scream out, knowing on some level that none of this was real, but she found herself teleporting to her side, mangled body half missing. The shield was still intact, but the cliffside was damaged. The shot could only have come from the submarines. Maki screamed, searching futilely for Kyoko's soul gem. "A shot from a submarine shouldn't be powerful enough to do this," Maki yelled. They both searched magically for her gem. It was nowhere to be found. Kyoko was gone. Maki lost herself to rage, arming herself to scream at the waiting world that she would hunt down whoever tipped them off. Her soul gem swirled dark as she charged the enemy, but a bubble formed around her, the other girls, and the body. Asaka was teleporting them away, knowing well that Maki was charging to her doom. Asaka ordered the girls to get Maki under control, even if it means taking her soul gem. Maki struck at the bubble, confining her again and again, until the girls arrived to pin her down. Weakening, she half-heartedly resisted. Her eyes were cold. Asaka was forced to tell her now was not the time to grieve. With a sensation Ryoko could not describe, she knew the vision was ending. She braced herself.